Hello, and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast. I'm your podcast host, Nat Gertlich, the Og Blogger, proud owner, perhaps crazed owner, of over 1,000 peanuts and peanuts-related books. I collect them. I don't collect peanut stuff. I collect peanuts books. I accumulate peanut stuff. I have plenty of peanut stuff. But I collect peanuts books, specifically. Now, I've got what I call the Og.com reference library. That's where my 1,000-plus books reside. And it's a collection of Peanuts-related books, and doesn't even try to hold every Peanuts book. There's things I don't collect. I don't collect all the coloring books. I accumulate some coloring books, but I don't collect them. I don't collect blank journals that have Peanuts characters on the cover, even though those are clearly books. But if I'm collecting books, that brings up a question. What is a book? Obviously, we have a working definition. We can recognize when something is clearly a book. But I accumulate plenty of, and collect plenty of actual definite books. And I get a number of things that sort of skirt around the edges, both inside and outside of the edges. So on tonight's show, if you're listening at night, or today's show, if you're listening during the day, I'm going to be looking at a few of those things. Looking at them carefully, and maybe talking about them, because this really is an audio-based medium. Staring at something intently really does not communicate well on a podcast. Now, I've got some things in the collection that I don't count in my over a thousand count, but are really part of the collection, even though they really aren't books. I've got things like strip reprints that aren't in book form. For example, there is a set of trading cards issued in the 1990s. That each card reprinted a different Peanuts strip. They planned to put out 10 series of these cards, but that was part of the 1990s trading card enthusiasm, and if one remembers trading cards in the 1990s, that enthusiasm failed to last. So they didn't get to put out all that they claimed to, but they did put out some. And as reprints of Peanuts strips, they're definitely within the general realm of interest of the Og.com reference library. Or I've got this dog's head I'm holding here, a Snoopy head, that you stare into the back of and you see a Peanuts image, a reproduced panel or edited panel. And if you rotate his ear, a different image pops up. You're just rotating a barrel inside Snoopy's head that shows a different image each time you turn it. It's got, I don't know, I haven't counted, probably 8 or so different images inside there. So that's much like flipping through a book, but you really can't call a dog's head a book. I think it was Groucho Marx said that outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend, but inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. I'm not sure exactly what relevance that has to the moment, but it seemed important. Now, I've also got things that are around the edges of what a book is. Like, for example, comic books. They're called books. They have books right in the name. But that's sort of a lie, because they're really more pamphlets. The traditional American comic book is a pamphlet in format. It's thin. It's got stapled edges, what they call saddle-stitched edges, that hold the thing together. And also, it's a periodical. So it's more in the magazine family than the book family. But we call them comic books, despite the fact that they're not books, and they're frequently not comic. The Peanuts ones certainly are, but there's some very serious things that are called comic books. Now, when you turn a comic book into a book, whether you collect a storyline from comics or you have a longer-length comic, they stop calling them comic books so much. They tend to call them graphic novels, even though they're not often not graphic in the sort of way that term is usually used with novels, full of sex and violence and seedy material. And they're often not novels, in that a lot of them are nonfiction. So if you read such acclaimed titles as Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics, which is sort of a guidebook to how comics work, or if you read people's memoirs like Alison Bechdel's Fun Home or Art Spiegelman's Mouths, to name two deservedly acclaimed examples, they're not novels at all. They are true stories, and thus do not qualify as a novel. But comic books, we still call them comic books. They ain't quite books, but they're close enough. Or I've got something here. I'm looking here at something that Hallmark put out in, as best I've been able to tell, around 1970. And it's got what's kind of like a sort of a key ring holding a bunch of pages together. Little you flip up at the top. It's sort of like a wall chart might be if it only had one ring, and you flip it up. And it, again, it's a comic strip reprint. It's just one panel per page of this flipped up page. And some of the pages are used for the table of contents or for titles for each of the strips. So they did a number of them. I've got seven or so of them. The one I'm looking at now happens to be called It's Only a Game, which I found fascinating because this is Schultz reusing the name of his non-Peanuts comics series that he did in the 1950s. But this time very much for Peanuts use. The cover, in fact, is Lucy kicking a football over her head so it lands behind her on Snoopy's head. These are somewhat uncommon to find, but they're cool items to have. But I don't know if I could quite count them as books. They're a bunch of pages held together somehow. But my first thought isn't book. Now, there are things I have that look like books that aren't. For example, I've got the Peanuts Christmas Ornament book. It says it's a book. It's right in the title. It's square like a book, but it really is just a single set of cardboard, carefully cut cardboard folded out that has embedded flat cardboard Christmas ornaments. You could pop out of there. It doesn't have pages per se. You don't flip one to the other. You just unfold the whole thing, and there's five Christmas ornaments. And to make it slightly more like they're trying to convince you it's a book rather than a set of five cardboard Christmas ornaments, it was published as part of a book series, as part of the Festive Peanuts line that was being published by Collins Publishers. They had a whole bunch of strip reprints in this Festive Peanuts line, each built around some holiday or another. And then they had this Christmas ornament book, which is not a book. This cost $9.95 back when it came out in the 1990s, I'm recalling. 1996. So, and looks like a book. You look at it carefully, if you don't try to open it up. But I would say not a book. Of course, then again, some people use the term book more broadly than I would tend to use. You can buy a book of stamps. And in fact, I have books of Peanut stamps. They're single sheets folded up. If I would say I publish books, I don't think that's what I'd be saying I publish, but you're allowed to use the term if you want. On the other hand, I've also got a metal tin that looks like it's a book about Snoopy, the world-famous flying ace, but it's, well, A, made of metal, B, you open it up, it's hollow. It's just meant to be used as a storage item that kind of looks like a fairly shiny book. Or I've seen planters that look like a pile of Peanuts books, but are really ceramic recreations of a pile of Peanuts books, hollow up on top. You can dunk a plant down in there. I've got here a copy of the acclaimed Snoopy's Friendship Book, which is actually a box of candy. It flips open to reveal two sets of three candy rolls on each side. So it does have the unfolding aspect kind of like a book, but if you count that as a book that's got zero pages inside, it's just got cover with candy rolls embedded, off-brand lifesavers, if you will. So Snoopy's Friendship Book is also not a book at all, but still something to be savored, and probably something I should have eaten years ago rather than keep around to have aged candy sitting on my shelves. And I do actually have some Snoopy bookends that also, much like the planter I described before, look like piles of Peanuts books. And these are exactly the bookends that I would want if I wanted bookends. However, the reality of my life is I have got far more books than shelf space. There is no loose space at the end of any of my shelves that needs a bookend in order to keep the books from falling over. The bookcases are full as it is. I don't tend to use open bookshelves without edges. I have books piled on the floor. The Og.com reference library really needs more shelving, but it doesn't really have much more room for it. So the bookends are lovely. They're bookends, but they're not books in the end. Now, I do have some books that are books, but are also something else simultaneously. I was talking about the Book of Christmas Ornaments that I have before. That isn't really a book. But I do have Christmas ornaments that are actually really books as well. They're small versions of books. I'm sitting here looking at the book Love is Walking Hand in Hand. It's about 2 inches by 1.5 inches, roughly, estimating with my not very good estimating eyeballs. It's a little hardcover with full color pages inside. It's an abbreviation of the reworked version of the book Love is Walking Hand in Hand. And it's got this golden string dangling from the top that you can hang the whole book from your Christmas tree, or, given that it's Love is Walking Hand in Hand, from your Valentine's Day tree if you happen to have one of those. I also recently got, the year before, a Charlie Brown Christmas ornament. It makes noise, and it opens up as a book, and it's got nice 3D stuff going on. It was available from Hallmark. And you know me, I love my Charlie Brown Christmas books. Oh, wait a second. Some of you, this might be the first time you're listening. You may not have read my blog. You may not know me. I love my Charlie Brown Christmas books. So that is another example. It's a book. It's decorative. It works out on all sorts of levels. I'm sitting here staring at something called a toy book that was made around the time of Peanut's 50th anniversary, which would be around 2000. And it is a book, and it is a toy. If you just look at it, it's a plastic doghouse with Snoopy the Flying Ace sitting on top of it. It's maybe about roughly 6 inches, 7 inches tall, a bit narrower than that. But if you push Snoopy on the nose and flip open the doghouse, inside there is a book. In fact, the box, I still have this in its original box, it tells you that it's featuring the story Peanut's Counting Book, which sort of begs the definition of the term story, I'd say there. I mean, one, bowl of dog food, two, girls jumping rope, three, bubbles. That, to me, is not a story. There's not a plot there. It's merely a bunch of vignettes, as it were. If we should do a literary analysis on Peanut's Counting Book, we really cannot qualify it as a short story or a story of any sort. It doesn't even include full sentences, generally. So, but it's a fun little item. Open me, I'm a book too, says the box. Ages 18 months and up, so I am allowed to use it. This was made by ERTL Preschool. I have several Peanuts books that are also musical instruments. They are books like Peanuts Play Along Songs, or Around the World with Charlie Brown, that have some form of simplified sheet music inside and a little keyboard that you can use to play that sheet music. So I doubt you would start a really jamming rock band on that, but still, that counts. It's a book. It's a musical instrument. Two good things that go semi-uncomfortably together. And perhaps my favorite of Peanuts books that are also something else, I have A Very Peanuts Christmas, which is about a foot wide and about 2 feet tall, maybe 1.5 to 2 feet tall, and thick and uneven, because in addition to being a book, it is a pillow, a nice fluffy pillow. It closes with some Velcro fasteners on the side. Listen to that, Velcro. And I'll hold this up so you can take a look at it. Hold it right up to the microphone. See, can you see that through the podcast device? This was published in 2007 by the Storybook Pillow Company, who have a nice full-color first page, but all the strips are reprinted in black and white, both dailies and Sundays, and they're from a range of eras. It's all Christmas-oriented Peanut strips. Each page has, about one Sunday and three dailies on it. In fact, I think that's exactly what it has. And it's got 9 pages of that, plus the full-color title page. So you get not the biggest number of strips you'll ever find in a book, but you'll have enough for some kid to sit down there and read, and then they can close it and use it as a pillow because the front cover and back cover are both nicely padded. I suspect one would use this more as a decorative pillow than anything else, but kids will grab their pillows wherever they can, and it's quite a delightful item to have. So that's just some of what I've got that count as near books, pseudo books, or somewhere around the edges of bookdom. But one of the things that makes collecting fun is the variety. I would not want to collect 10,000 copies of the same book. Although as a publisher, I have sometimes owned, 5,000 copies of the same book, but then I sell them off. I get rid of them if all goes well. Anyway, that's it for this episode of the Aug Blog Podcast. Please stop by the blog. Go to aug.com. That's AAUGH.com. And see what we've got going on the blog. I've always got short bits of Peanuts book news and reviews, sometimes somewhat longer musings. And, of course, reminders of the people on who read the blog. They should also come and listen to the podcast. I am trying to own all your time. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, insults, decorations, proposals, or anything else you wish to communicate to me about this fine podcast to which you've just been listening to, or if you want to let me know it's not a fine podcast, please send those comments, questions, and such to questions@aug.com. Again, AAUGH.com. And until next time, may you not be assigned to read War and Peace with less than 2 weeks' notice. May you always find the right book for keeping your leaf collection in. And may all your griefs be good ones.